So tonight I just want to take a few minutes and just when I talked to Pastor Mark earlier, I was kind of like, I just want it to be kind of a faith development. You know, I'll share a couple things on faith, share a couple testimonies, and if you have any testimonies, we may have a couple come up and give a testimony toward the end of the service. One thing I've noticed as you hear testimonies, faith testimonies, and hear things as you're growing in your walk with God, it tends to build your faith up to where as you grow in God, things become easier to believe for. Yeah. And it becomes easier to receive the things that you're believing for.
That's right.
So that's my desire tonight, is to maybe have a little bit of faith development. Let's turn over in your Bibles to the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11. We'll start in 1. There we go. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the words, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What is faith? One of the first classes we had in Bible school was a faith foundations class, and the teacher we had in that class put it down into two words that made it easy to understand. Faith is a firm persuasion. A firm persuasion that what you're believing or what you're wanting or what you're wanting to see happen will come to pass. One of our core values at work for my company is unquestionable trust. Faith is an unquestionable trust in our Father. Many of us use our faith even more than we think we do, than we realize we do. How many of you in the mornings when you go get in your car, before you drive out of the parking lot, test your brakes? We have one. Awesome. We have one that knows they're going to stop when they want to stop. And as I'm thinking about this today, one of the first things they taught us in, I took some flight training when I was younger. Once you do all the checks on the airplane and do everything and you get ready to taxi out and take off, one of the first things they tell us is as soon as you advance the throttle and start moving forward, tap your brakes. Because once that plane gets going, there's no stopping. And you want to know that you'll be able to stop it, and at that point, you're not going fast enough. But how many of us get in our car, we put it in a drive, and we let it move forward, and we tap the brakes to make sure they stop? I don't. I can speak for me. I don't, unless I just did a brake job. If I just swap the brakes out, then I'm testing them. We're going to make sure they work. But we get in our vehicle every day, and we get it and drive off, and we have an unquestionable trust or a firm persuasion that when I tap the brakes on this, it's going to stop. When so-and-so stops in front of me or there's a red light. We have faith in that part is going to work. Firmly persuaded. Okay. It's a knowing before it comes to pass. We know that what we're believing for will come to pass. We're firmly persuaded that it'll come to pass. We hear all the time, believing is seeing. But faith is believing it before you see it. See? We get it backwards. Because what happens when you hear this, oh, I'll believe that when I see it. And then what happens? You see, oh my God, I don't believe that. That's the first thing we say. We see it, you're supposed to believe it, but we say, oh, I don't believe that just happened.
That's right.
You know? But no, we're firmly persuaded. Faith is you believe it before you see it. You know?
That's right.
Unquestionable trust in God.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you go to God in faith, there's two things right here that we want to know. First thing we want to know, that he is.
Yeah.
What is he? He's God. Back over in Exodus, Moses went to God. God had sent Moses to say, hey, I want you to go bring the Egyptians out. God, who am I to go tell them, hey, follow me? Who am I to tell them sent me? God said to him, you go tell them I am sent you.
That's right.
You tell them I am the Lord that sent you. I am. I'm what you need.
Amen.
What do you need? Do you need something with your relationship? Do you need something financial? Do you need whatever you need? I am. I can share from my experience. I shared this a little bit Monday night in the Forever Freedom class. When Peyton was born 16 years ago now, I really leaned on God and said, I want to learn more about you as a father to me by being a father to her. And Peyton has no problem whatsoever coming to Dad. Hey, Dad, I need this. Hey, Dad, I want this. You know, I am Peyton's I am. Peyton comes to me, Dad, this is what I need. I am Peyton's I am. No matter what she needs, she knows, hey, Dad can do it. Dad will get it done. If he can't do it, he'll see that it happens. And Dad figures it out and does it. I am Peyton's I am. Danica had said to me 6 months ago, Peyton started driving. Danica said, you need to make sure the road service, the roadside service cards and everything are in her car where she's got those phone numbers and things. I said, honey, do you really think something's going to happen to her car and she's going to call road service?
There you go.
The first person she's going to call is Dad. You know? So when we're believing for something or something's going on, who's the first person we should call?
Daddy.
We should call Daddy. We should call I am. We should call the person who is what we need him to be at that point in time.
Amen. Come on now.
So, we should know that he is. He's what we need. Next in the verse it says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seeks him. How many of you know, or let me just tell you, you might not know because you don't live in our house, but normally when Peyton comes and asks for something, Dad finds a way to make it happen. Mom finds a way to make it happen. You know, it's just the love you have for your kids. You want them to have everything that they want, sometimes to a fault, you know. But how much more does our Heavenly Father look at us and say, hey, I want you to live a successful life. I want you to have the things you need. I want you to be successful. And if we diligently seek Him and we're communing with Him and communicating with Him and developing our relationship with Him, as we go to our Dad, our Heavenly Father, how much more is He going to do for us than what we do for our own children?
That's right. That's right.
So, I want to give a testimony. The Bible tells us to have the faith of a child, to have a childlike faith, right? Why would, you know, you think that, you know, we're adults, we're mature, we make decisions, we know how to live life, but Jesus tells us to have the faith like this little child. Why would we think that? A child will believe anything you tell them.
Yeah.
You know? It's just that simple. A child, you explain it to them, a child will believe it. When Peyton was little, when I was little, my dad would tell me stories. He told me stories about Auburn and why Auburn was where they were and why the tags on Alabama said the heart of Dixie. And he told me stories, and I repeated those stories to people as gospel, as truth. And I told Dad one day, son, you didn't tell people that, did you? Well, yeah, I did. Son, I made that up. Why? I mean, as a child, you're going to believe the things your parents, you know? So that's why we have a childlike faith. So that a child will believe anything you tell them to believe. So, back in 99, we went on a father-son snowmobile trip with the church that I was in at the time. And I think it was about 50 or 70. Did you go? You went on that? Is there about 50 or 70 of us on this trip? And,
I was at Rhema.
He was at Rhema too. He. So, and we went out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming for for 5 days and rode snowmobiles. We did what guys do, what guys from Alabama do. We went out and we'd get up in the mornings for 45 minutes to an hour and have a little prayer session. The pastor at the time would teach a little lesson or something. We'd pray for a little bit. Then we'd go spend the next 10, 12 hours on a snowmobile up in the Grand Teton Mountains. It was a blast. Well, about day number two or three, we were out going through some trails, and of course, we're all from Alabama. We're all racing, and the guides look behind us, and they're like, whoa, this, okay. So we weren't real good at following guidelines or trails or marked trails. So I had kind of cut through the woods. The way the trail went, I had kind of cut through the woods to go this particular way, and I'm going to pass all these people. Well, a little too late, the pastor of the church at the time, he was following me. He saw me cut through this trail, and he had cut through it, and then I had cut through another one, and he said, I'm going to go this way instead. Well, when I cut through this other one, I went down about a 10-foot drop. About a 10-foot hole. And as I went in that hole, I had jumped off the snowmobile. I figured that was, you know, I'll land that way in snow rather than that way in a hole. Well, as I jumped off, you put your feet in these stirrups. That's all I could get. I couldn't get away from the thing. I was stuck in the stirrups. And I hit my legs on the handlebars. And I went flap right in the side of this snow wall. I looked like Wile E. Coyote on the side of a mountain. And the first guy that got to me was the pastor of the church, and he pulls me out of the hole. Are you okay? And I'm laying back. I'm laughing. I'm laughing hard. I can't catch my breath. I can't breathe. And he's, are you okay? Are you okay? I finally give him a thumbs up that I'm okay. And I gather myself and I get up and I'm like, wow, that was awesome. Sort of. So everybody realizes there's a couple of us missing. When we notice there's a few people missing, we turn around, we go back, we find out what's going on. The group, at this point in this particular trip, there was a group of 15, maybe 20 of us. They all come back, and they see the butt end of a snowmobile sticking out of a hole and realize, okay, we got a mess. We don't have any shovels or anything, so we're all down there in our hands digging the snow out. I take my gloves off, I go over, and we're digging snow out. After about maybe 20 minutes of digging the snow out, I looked down at my hands and I realized my wedding band is gone. Now, we had been married 2.5 years at the time, and I thought, that is not a phone call I want to make. That's no. So I tell everybody to stop. I look around. I'm standing in. The reason this hole was there, the snow was built up, but there was a running stream under this hole which would not let the snow stay. And I'm standing down in this running stream digging through snow looking for my wedding ring. And the guide's yelling at me, I don't have dry socks, get out of the water. I'm like, get out of the water now. After about being there 40 minutes to an hour, we get the snowmobile dug out. Snow's everywhere. I hang it up to, I lost my wedding band. And we go on about the day. And I'm thinking the whole day, man, that's a phone call I have to make tonight, which was not going to be fun. And so I'm starting to pray right away. Thank you, Father, for peace. Thank you, Father, for understanding and peace and understanding and forgiveness. And so we go through the day, and I get home, and I make the phone call. And I tell Danica, I said, honey, I wrecked a snowmobile today. Maybe I should have led with I lost my wedding band, because I wrecked a snowmobile today was not a good leadoff. It was I told you not to call me and tell me you wreck anything. I said, well, I did. And then I told her, I said, but the other part of that is in digging the thing out, I lost my wedding band. Silence. She drops the phone, it hits the floor, bounces a couple times, and then the next voice I hear is Gail. She happened to be over there. What happened? I said, where's Danica? She just went off in the bedroom. What'd you do? What'd you say? What happened? I said, well, I wrecked a snowmobile and I lost my wedding band. So my week is not starting out so great. So in that phone call, in that conversation with Gail, she reminded me of a speaker we had just had a couple months before that. He's from Gadsden. He had come down, was a guest speaker. And he had given a testimony of how he was in Alaska and he dropped his keys in the snow. It was the only set of keys that he had for his truck. And he had stopped at a gas station, had gotten a snack, filled up, and dropped his keys somewhere in the snow. And he just started believing, God, you're going to have to show me where those keys are because it's all I got. I'm in the middle of Alaska and however many feet of snow and the keys are all I got. And the Holy Spirit guided him where those keys were. He stuck his hand in the snow and picked them up and went on about his way. And then there was a service around that time that the pastor had taught on the gold did swim. Not the gold, the iron did swim. Over in Exodus, Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Kings 6, 4 and 6. You don't have to put this up. So he went with them, and when he came to Jordan, they cut down wood, but as one of them fell a beam, the axe head fell off into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? He showed him the place. He cut down a stick, cast it thither, and the iron did swim. So I got Mama on the phone with me saying, hey, you remember the scripture, the iron did swim. Hey, you remember Gene Hollis? He had the testimony about finding his keys right there like that. I said, yeah, okay. Okay, it's gold, it's snow, sure, okay. So I started getting hooked up thinking, you know, and keep in mind, it's a bunch of us faith guys around too. And when we got to dinner that night, I started telling them, and they asked me, how'd the conversation with your wife go? Yeah, I got to talk to my mother-in-law. That conversation went really good. And so I just started saying, you know what? I'm gonna find my ring and I'm gonna go home with my ring. Just there. And it's just a simple, hey Father, I don't want to go home without my ring. We had, like I said, we'd just been married 2.5 years at the time. And it's a sentimental value. This is the ring that she picked out. I didn't pick it out, she picked it out to give to me on our wedding day. So it's got some sentimental value there. So we went on about the week, and night number three, as I'm sleeping, I'm starting to have dreams of the accident and the site and where we were. And I'm starting to see things in this dream. I think two nights in a row I had dreams. So on our last day, I went to my dad that morning before we went to the prayer service, and I said, Dad, today, can we talk to the guide? We would kind of break our rides up. A morning ride, an afternoon ride. Can we talk our guide into taking us back out to that site this afternoon? I want to go get my ring. He's like, well, sure, son, we can do that. What are you feeling? What's going on? What's happening? And so I told him about the dreams I've been having. I said, this is where I am with it. You know, I believe we can go home with my ring. From the Gene Hollis testimonies and from the Iron Did Swim and what's going on back in 2 Kings, I believe I can go home with my ring. There's no reason. You know, God's not a respecter of persons. If he does it for them, if he does it for those in the Bible, if he does it for Gene Hollis, why can't he do it for me? And then I looked at him, I said, and plus I'm 2 or 3 days out. You know, Gene just went back and got his keys right away. They just went back and got the iron right away. I'm 2 or 3 days of that much more snow being on top of it. This is going to be awesome, you know? So we go to the guide, that we go to the prayer service. And pastor that morning kind of was talking on faith and believing in God and trusting in God. And I said, you know what, Dad, let's go this morning. I don't want to wait till this afternoon. So we go to breakfast. I go to the guide and I say, his name was Carter. I said, hey, Carter, there was another guide that was going to take us that day. I said, can you show him on a map or tell him where we wrecked that snowmobile? I want to go back and get my ring. He said, that's about the dumbest, stupidest thing I've ever heard. I said, do what? He said, you're not going to find that ring. I said, no, I'm not. I said, God's going to find it. I said, we're in faith. God's going to find it. I'm not. I had done resolved that I'm not going to go back and look for it. And so he proceeded to tell the other guide how we were, where it was and what was going on. And that guy said, you know what, Carter? You take them. You know where it is. You take them. So it's me, my dad, and Carter. And another guy comes along and he's hearing what's going on. Hey, I want to go. Another guy comes along. Hey, I want to go. Do you mind if I go? I just want to be in on this and see it happen. You know, so you got other people that are hooking up with you in faith. And they're believing God with you. And they're seeing this whole miracle work out. And now you know what happens because So we ride around for a couple hours and we finally get to the site. And everything stops, and he says, okay, here we are. I said, where? He says, this is right over there is where you wrecked here. I'm like, oh, nothing looked the same. It was totally different. This is 2 or 3 days later, 10, 12 more feet of snow had been top on everything, and nothing looked the same. So I walked over kind of where I thought I was when I first realized I had lost my ring, and I looked around, and I piddled in the snow, and nothing was there. And I walked around the backside. We were there 2 minutes. I walked around the backside of this, the hole, and I looked down in the creek. I said, I got it. And everybody's like, huh? I said, I got it. And Carter's, uh-uh. And I walked down, and I stood in that water where he told me not to stand, and I bent over, and my ring was standing straight up and down on a rock.
Wow.
In a stream. Carter looks down and says, I don't believe it. What do we say when something happens? Oh, I don't believe it. That'll never happen again. My dad looked at the guy and he said, no, Carter, it probably will never happen again. But you know what? If we ask our Heavenly Father to do it for us, it will happen.
Amen.
It'll happen for us. You guys want to know I made the best phone call? First thing I did, Dad, we got to get back to the hotel. Why? I got to get back in my wife's good graces. I got to let her know I found my ring. Praise God. And I had guys hooked up. I think 2 or 3 of the guides, because of that testimony and God and Carter going back and telling what we did and what he saw and what happened. 2 or 3 of the guides got born again.
Amen.
Another one of the guides says he used to be a missionary. He said, I used to hear and see things like that happen all the time. But it'll happen every time we ask them.
Yes, amen.
And because of that miracle that God did for me, because he's no respecter of persons, I don't lose things anymore. You know, a couple months ago, I'm looking around here. We had a wireless pack that they play the guitar on so we can feed it through the board. And I couldn't find it. Somebody had moved it or done something with it. I'd been looking for it for 2 weeks. And of course, I finally said, Wednesday night practice, I finally said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to show it to me. You're going to have to bring it to me. I've looked everywhere I know to look. I walk over, and under the guitar stand right there, like in 2 minutes, something about 2 minutes, but under the guitar stand right there is the pack I'm looking for. And it's black, so you can't see it on the board. I'm out changing the water pump in my truck one night. And any of you ever change a water pump on your truck or car or whatever, you know, it's got bolts all the way around it, you know. And some bolts are longer than others, and some go, they're different size bolts. So I keep the bolts in the hole where they go, so I know where to put them back on the new one. My wife comes out to check on me, what's going on? What is this? Bolts everywhere. I'm like, what? No, stop. And I'm digging, and I find all but one bolt. And again, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to bring the bolt back to me because I needs that bolt. And as these things happen, your faith builds more and more and more so that the next time something happens, it's a piece of cake. You almost don't even have to ask. You almost just say, Holy Spirit, okay. You know, you don't even have to ask. Two years ago, Danica calls me. Pray with me. What happened? Well, I was sitting on the dock. She had taken Peyton and some of the other girls from school. They had a project and they had to do something out at Oak Mountain. And she calls me and says, as I got up off the dock, my car keys fell out of my pocket into the lake. I'm like, oh, praise God. Hey, honey, the iron did swim, you know? So I says, okay, we prayed. We believe God. We'll get the keys back. They'll work. I wasn't too worried about getting them back because we knew where they fell. We can get in the lake and find them. But it's an electronic key fob that fell in the water. For a European vehicle that I'm sure is not going to be cheap to fix. So I said, you know, we prayed. She went and found the guard or the one of the folks. They said, yeah, happens all the time. We have a magnet with a rope. Just show me where. He throws a magnet in there, pulls the keys up. And she calls me, I got them. Praise God, they'll start your car too. She goes over, opens it, unlocks it, starts the car. Everything's great. Praise God, thank you, Father. I meet her at the summit for dinner. It don't start the car. It started the car long enough to get her out of Oak Mountain. So we have the car towed over here to Tom Williams, Range Rover, Land Rover. And say, hey, the key doesn't work. And we explained to him, it's been in the water. He said, chances are it's no good if it's been in the water. I said, well, you know what? I have another one at home that for whatever reason quit working itself. What if I bring it back and we just reprogram it? They said, yeah, we can do that. It's going to cost this much. I said, okay, at this time they're getting ready to close. I said, I'll bring it back to you first thing in the morning, or I'll bring it back tonight. And I told him I would leave it under the car mat or something in the car. So we go to the house, I dig it out of the drawer, and I take it down to go leave it in the car. And I thought, you know what, just for fun of it, it unlocks. Wow, praise God. Let's go. I get in the car and I crank it up. Car cranks up. Hurry up, go home and I pick up Danica because, honey, you need to take me back to get my car. Huh? What? What's going on? I said, the key works. We're good. So let's go get all our cars and get them home. I meant to call the guy first thing the next morning, but I forgot to. Mr. Roll? Yes, sir. Oh, hey, I've got my car. You're okay. Don't worry about it. I meant to call him to tell him my car's not there. I got it. But time after time, these things happen. And I could give you testimony after testimony of little, what you would think minor things, but they're all equal. You know, something's missing or something's needed, or I got to have a bill paid by tomorrow or whatever. Because of our unquestionable trust in our Heavenly Father, we know He'll be there. He'll be there for us. He'll provide the need that we need. He's the I Am. He's our I Am. All we got to do is just believe Him for it. So, of course, this is an area that my family, anyway, has no problem with. You know, we don't worry about things. We know God's got our back. We know our bills are paid for. We know stuff's taken care of. We know our cars are going to run. 3/4 of our cars are going to run. I got a car that I love that I have to work on a lot, but you know what? He shows me what to do to fix it. Amen. I just work on it and drive it. But it's that unquestionable trust that we put in our Heavenly Father. It's like that unquestionable trust that we put in our parents to take care of our needs. You know, my daughter doesn't have a need in the world. She comes to me. She comes to Mom. Hey, Mom, I need something. Okay, we'll get it. Hey, Mom, this is going on at school. Hey, Dad, I need, can you, we need this song cut and edited for dance. Can you do that for me? Sure. Okay. Our Heavenly Father is that to us. Hey, Father, I need this. I need that. I have a problem with this relationship. Help me fix it. Show me how to fix it. You know, most of my day was, hey, Father, I got to get up and teach tonight. Be there with me, please. You know? And that's our Father. He loves us like our dads love us. Yeah. I've learned so much about our Father just by being a dad to Peyton. Yeah. And the things that I want for her and the things I want to see for her and see her do, I realize how God looks at us, how He wants us to succeed, how He does everything for us to succeed. We just have to be there to receive that. You know, He's given it to us. He's freely given it to us. We just have to accept it. Yeah. We have to receive it. Amen? It's done. It's done. So I hope that these testimonies like that. Here's my ring. I still have my ring. I still wear it today. Now it's hard to get off now, so I don't have too many issues with it. But hopefully these little tidbits help build your faith. Understand, God did it for several people in the Bible. And we hear testimonies all the time of the things He does for Pastor Mark, the things He does for you here, the things He does for us. To know that God's not a respecter of persons. You know, I can't speak to this like some of you can. Some of you that have two children, would you do for one and not the other? No. So you're not going to respect you're going to treat them both the same. You're going to make sure they both got what they need. God's not a respecter of persons. He's going to do for me just like He did for Abraham. Just like He provided for Noah and Abraham and Daniel and all the characters we see in the Bible, how He took care of them. He'll take care of us. Amen. Anybody here have a testimony they want to share that may build some faith?
I moved down here from Wisconsin, but when I was up there before my journey down here, I had gotten let go. I was downsized at my job. And I had totally put my faith in the Lord. I said, Lord, I am at the age where You got to provide me a job. You got to open the door for me. I'm too old to pound the pavement and all this stuff, you know. And he put a thought in my head, that small voice, and it said, look at Protective Life. That's and I knew some contacts down there because we were a third-party vendor for them. And I contacted one of the lead persons down there, and I said, hey, I'm looking for a job. Do you have any openings? He sent me to the website. So I got the interview, long story short, and I told the Lord, too, I said, I have to make this certain amount of money. I can't go lower. And it was $1,000 short of what I was making. So I packed up the U-Haul, and I had my truck, my car towed, you know, I was towing my truck, my car, and I was moving down here, and I started praising God. I said, well, thank You so much for the provision. I mean, there's a lot more that what I'm not saying, but as I was driving, I think I was in Illinois, and I said, Lord, I thank You. It's $1,000 short of what I was making, but, you know, that's okay. I get a phone call from Protective Life, and it was HR, and they said, I've never seen this before, but we're going to give you a $2,000 raise before you even start. And I testified to this HR person, and I said, I was just talking about this. I said, our God is just unbelievable. You know, He unbelievable. You know, I didn't believe it, but I knew He was going to provide for me, and He did. And so I just want to encourage to build up that faith. And He is our provider, and He does care about us. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Praise God. Anybody else?
Yeah, right here.
Right there. Here we go.
Let me get up there so I can talk. Well, I had this lawnmower. And I was cutting my wife's best friend's grass, and went around this bush, and looked down in my lawnmower, and keys were gone. And I just asked the Lord, I said, it's a big yard. I don't know where a key is. It's this small, little bitty small thing, you know. I just asked him where's it at, you know. And so he told me, it's around that bush. Just a small bush, you know, small. So I went down there and looked around the bush. Came back. I said, well, I couldn't find it. He's just down there. I mean, you know, third time I went down there, there was a key. I found the key.
Right where he said it was.
Right where he said it was.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things. God is good. I mean, he's good to all of us.
He is. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. That's awesome. See, this builds our faith. You know, it when you hear these things, it builds your faith. Hey, you know, he'll do it for me too. Nothing's too small.
Yeah, this is really simple, and it happened tonight. So I was like, I definitely have to share it. I prayed, I think it was yesterday or the day before. I organized Jane's room, and she has a dresser, and it has like a lamp on it, but nothing else. And I was like, Lord, I need something cute, like on her dresser. And I was just told him, and Melanie walked in with like these collectible item, like cute dolls that like she can't play with, but she can look at. And I was like, of course, cool. Thanks, Lord.
Trinkets. Trinkets, you know, decoration. Anything else? Anybody else? Quick, you got one?
Yeah.
Wendy's are always good.
This one was about the job that I have now. It's been 20 years, but how I first got it. I had my boys, and I wanted a day shift job. I was working night shift, 7 on 7 off, and I had a job that I wanted to be more a part of my boys' lives during the daytime. And I mean, I'm working during the time when they're in school, and I can have them in the evening time. And so I was like, Lord, I need a day shift job. And I don't even want to work on the weekends. I want to have weekends off. And it was just a request to him. And at the time, I was just learning about faith. And it says, if you have the faith without wavering, because he's so faithful, that promise, you'll get what you have. Just have that faith without wavering. So I did. And I looked on the board, and there was a job up there saying pain lab nurse. And it was Monday through Friday. And wait a minute. It wasn't on the board. But it was a guy that I was working with said, I know the lady that's over this department, and there's a job there. And then so I said, okay. And I called her, and she said, well, that job is closed. But if you want to, I'll interview you. I'll talk to you. And I was just like, okay. And I didn't waver about that. I just said, okay. And I went, and I brought my clothes the next day. I interviewed with her. And she asked me about different things. Did you know anything about pain? I said, well, I know people hurting and they need help. And so I just, you know, I didn't even know the details of the job. I said, I know they hurting and they need help. And she said, okay. And asked me how I would deal with a difficult doctor or something like that. And I told her, I said, well, if I'm doing my job to the best of my ability and doing my job as unto the Lord, then whatever he gets upset about, we'll work it out. You know, she said, okay. And about a week later, the human resource called me and said, Wendy, you still want this job? And I said, yes. And they told me what it was. And they said it was a little bit lower than what I was making. I said, well, okay, that's fine. I don't care. And when I accepted the job, and I was just thanking the Lord and just praising God all through the house. And when I finally got on that job, everybody was looking puzzled, and they were like, well, and she was introducing me to everybody, and then when I was going to be trained by the lady who was leaving, I said, what is everybody looking at me so funny for? She said, well, they had somebody else for this job, and then you came. We don't know what happened. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't even know who it was. I mean, I hope they got a better job, but that was my job, and so... God would do something.
Amen.
Monday through Fridays, no weekends, no holidays, and I love my job.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I encourage you that, you know, even at work and through your daily walk, out away from church. As these testimonies, you know, as you have testimonies to share them with your coworkers. Share them with people. I've shared my story with tons of people, and it's always ministered to them. It's always given them that little bit of faith that they need to find or receive or whatever. You know, we develop our faith and we build our faith by hearing the Word of God, but we also develop and hear it by hearing what God's done for others, knowing that what He's done for others, He'll do for us as well.